Good afternoon, and welcome to this episode of the Ad Drop Podcast. We continue our spin through the world of college baseball. Today, we stop in Odessa, Texas. With me is the head coach of the University of Texas at Permian Basin, Gabe Greiner. Good afternoon, coach. How are you?
Good afternoon, Tance. I'm doing well. I appreciate you having me on.
Anytime. Now, when did you know when you're growing up that baseball would be your path?
I'd probably say I wanted to get into coaching in my high school age. My dad was a major league umpire for a while, so baseball was kind of always around our family, but I knew coaching once I got into that high school age.
Now, do you ever look like, did you ever like kind of go in the field and kind of look around when there's nobody around and kind of take it all in? Like, you are living what your dream is, being a coach. Like, do you ever just reflect and embrace the moment?
Yeah, there's sometimes where you stop for a second and think, man, I get to do this for a living. I get to coach a kid's game, and it's really not work. It is, but it isn't, because it's something that we get to enjoy so much, and we ultimately get to coach a game.
Now, you have coached and played pretty much across the nation. What did playing in such different locations and coaching in different locations, how did that help you kind of form a base from where you want to coach from?
I think it's helped me a lot. I learned a lot of my recruiting stuff from the guy I played for in college and coached for a year, Jason Beck, that's at Montreat. Learned some more recruiting stuff from Matt Parker in my stop at Oklahoma Wesleyan. Really learned how to run a program for Matt Parker while I was at Oklahoma Wesleyan. And then there's some offensive stuff I took from my time at Morningside with Brian Drent, and I've been really lucky to be around really great baseball guys every stop that I've been at. I know some guys aren't as fortunate at times, but luck of the draw for me, I've landed my feet in really good spots.
What was the culture change going from Kansas to Texas like? They may be kind of relatively close, but you can't find two more divergent atmospheres.
The people down here are awesome. It's been a really welcoming community. We had a great community in Kansas. There was a lot of good people up there, and it was hard to leave that community because it's the longest stop we'd ever had. But it's been very good down here. A lot of good people that love sports and want to see things happen here.
Now, being a former closer, how does that, as far as being around the mound, how does that affect your pitching philosophy?
We always tell guys in recruiting we're looking for killers out on the mound. We just want guys that are cold as ice and can go get the job done in any circumstances. I think from my days of playing and closing, it's kind of how it has to be. So we really just look for guys who go out there, and it's funny you ask that, because we talked about that last night, my assistant and I, and he said, man, you always talk about wanting killers, but like, aren't those the guys that just show no emotion and just go get the job done? And it is what we're looking for. Just guys that, whether you're up or you're down, they just go and they execute and get the job done. Almost kind of like Adam Wainwright last night in the first inning of that WBC. Gets out of a huge jam, and guy had no emotion on his face and just kept going.
Now, what do you think is more difficult to coach? Somebody with electric stuff, but kind of lacks the mental command of the game, or somebody with below average stuff, but is just, as you call, a killer. Which is tougher to coach, and which would you rather coach?
The electric guy is tougher to coach. I've had guys that are just kind of okay stuff wise, but just mentally they're unstoppable, and they've been some of the best pitchers I have. My best one of the best pitchers I've ever come across, he's actually the pitching guy at William Jewell now, coached for me for a little bit. But Lance Spongeberg, he'll never admit to this, but he just had okay stuff in college. But the guy was just dominant, because there's no one, he never thought anyone could ever beat him. And he pitched like it every time he went out. So I'd rather take the guy with a little less stuff, with the mental capacity to just go and beat anyone.
Is a closer born or is a closer made?
That's a great question. I think that's kind of a mental makeup of a person over time, because those are stressful situations, and I think you grow into that stuff. I don't think you can just throw a random person in the backside of the game and hope they get it done. I think you have to have mentally strong kids. They can go do that job.
As a coach and just as a former player, can you just from even on the from the dugout, can you look at either a pitcher or a batter and tell that the confidence is not there?
Yeah, there are times that you can see that. Absolutely. How they hold themselves after a pitch, base hit. You can tell. I mean, the guy that's always talking to his glove after every base hit he gives up, he's probably not mentally checked into the game. He's letting circumstances that he can't control dictate his emotions. And same with hitters, guys that just they complain about pitches that are called on them. I think they forget that they still have two more strikes in there. So guys that kind of start placing blame on umpires, you can see at bats kind of get flushed by those guys. So yeah, you can see it in guys and how they handle themselves.
Now, do players still think that going to the bullpen is a demotion, or do you have certain players who embrace the challenge of coming in with men on base, with one out, and being able to face the heart of a lineup?
We've actually had to do that with a guy this year. So with Eddie Jung, who's throwing our game four every weekend, we moved to the bullpen this weekend, and I told him afterwards, I said, man, I like bullpen Eddie instead of starter Eddie. And he laughed about it, but he said, coach, I'm actually more comfortable back there. It's more my style. So there are some guys that might view it as a demotion, but I was trying to tell guys that being a reliever isn't always the prettiest thing, but you get to throw in the most high leverage situations and provide your team with the greatest punch. Where starters might kind of toil through a game for five, six innings and never have a big moment. Innings seven through nine, you're always going to find big moments. So you get to impact the team in their greatest need, being a reliever.
Now, after a player gives up a home run, let's say a really gives up a home run, how many pitches does it take for you to kind of see that they have put the home run in the past and they kind of focus on the next batter?
You can see that within the first 1 to 2 pitches. Of how they attack. Are they passive and just really bad misses? Or are they just getting right back into the zone and I don't care, I'm just going to keep pitching. I think you can tell that pretty quickly on where a guy's at with that.
Also, as a closer, I'm sure you know this, like there's a parallel I like to draw between a basketball player who lets a ball go off his fingers, he know what's going to be in, he just is the feel of it, or a football player when he throws a spiral comes off his fingers, it feels right. As a pitcher, same thing. Can you tell as soon as you let the ball go that this just feels like a strike?
Yeah, I mean, I could, as a pitcher, you kind of were in those spots where you're dialed in and you know, and I know as a coach standing from the side, like I can watch it leave a guy's hand and I know that's got a chance or holy crap. That's not even competitive at all, before it gets to the dish. So yeah, I like to think as a pitcher, you know, when that ball's coming out of your hands, whether you're delivering a quality pitch or whether it's just going to be non-competitive.
What advice would you give yourself as a first-year coach?
Oh, if I could go back and do it all over again.
Yes.
Learn as much as you can and really absorb everything. I don't think I truly did that until probably my fifth or sixth year in coaching with Matt Parker, when I really realized there's a lot to this game I don't know and I need to pay more attention. So I think young guys, if they're smart, they absorb everything early and continue to build off of it.
Is an error committed in the field a mental mistake or a physical mistake?
Depends. I think physical happens when you get scared and caught in between on hops. I don't think that's a mental deal. I think that's a physical deal of knowing that you should just attack the baseball and go get it. Throwing errors, I mean, that's a physical deal. You just sail one. It's going to happen. Or you choke one and you throw it into the ground. I think the mental stuff is where you don't check in necessarily every single pitch, and all of a sudden, balls ripped at you and you're set behind the play because you weren't locked into stuff. And you create an error that way. Or I always like the one with outfielders ball in the gap. They come up throwing and they're nowhere even close to the cutoff guys. That's a mental mistake because you practice that stuff ad nauseum. So you should know based off of where you're at, a general area of where your cutoff guy is going to be. And when you miss them by 15, 20 feet, then to me, that's a mental mistake of you just not really locking in and paying attention to where guys should be at.
What piece of advice would you give a player in a slump?
Keep going. And I think that's tough sometimes because you got to have a coach that believes in you and keeps playing you. And we try to do that a lot with our guys. I try to get those guys to understand that we believe in them. And we just keep going back to the well. Because like Eddie, for instance, has 17 ERA going in this weekend against West Texas, and we threw him 3 out of the 4 games. It'd be very easy for me to write someone off like that, but I believe Eddie can pitch, and the best way I can show Eddie he can pitch is throw him. And it's the same with hitters. If there's a guy that's struggling, which we've had a couple guys here over the past 2 weeks not be the same, best way I can show a guy like you need to believe in yourself is for me to believe in them and continue to throw them in the order and let them work through things.
When we come back from break, I want to discuss a couple of your players to kind of get more of your insight. But after this break, we'll return with the AdDrop podcast on the FPC Radio Network. We are back with AdDrop podcast. Harris Biggs, Gabe Greina, coach of the University of Texas at Permian Basin. Coach, first player I want to talk about is Carson Johnson. How has he made the transition from Kansas to Texas as far as Ottawa to UTPB?
He's made an awesome transition, and I kind of got to back up to his time in Kansas with us. We recruited Carson and thought he was going to be a JV player, to be honest. We saw some skill, but it wasn't like, oh my gosh, he's so good. And his first fall with us, I think he hit a buck 20. It was kind of just a deal. Hey, we'll keep him on the roster, let him kind of grow. And he got an opportunity in Kansas and took off with it and was our everyday shortstop on a team that won 43 games. And then his transition down here has been huge. And I think he's a guy that just, he believes in what we do on the hitting side of things and the fielding side of things, and he sells out to it. And I think his stats speak for themselves. I think he's a guy that's he had to adjust to this pace of play as well, and he's done that and really shown up and showed out as to why he's as good as he is. And it's because of the work he puts in each and every day.
One thing I noticed this past weekend was he got off to a rough start versus West Texas. I think it was 0-6, but since that point, he was 4 of 9 and 4 RBI. What does that speak to his mental toughness?
He's really tough. I get on that guy a lot. And I do because I think Carson's one of our best players. And we, him and I had a talk about a week and a half ago, and I said, I'm never going to let off of you. Because I believe you can be elite, and I won't stop getting on you until you start to give me the elite effort each and every day. And, he's accepted that challenge. He's been showing up more and more, working more and more, and dragging guys with him. But I think that's why you can see him go 0-for-6 and then bounce back because he's just mentally tough and he can handle the challenge that's in front of.
You have a player in Mason Hamlin who's also a freshman, but he has one of the most interesting stats where he's had a hit every game since February 18th. What does that speak to Mason's consistency despite being a freshman?
Mason has tremendous bat to ball skill. Some of the best we've seen. He's an athletic freak. He puts a ton of time and effort into his game as well, and shows up and works hard. But Mason, I think, is just starting to scratch the surface of his ability as a player. He's again another guy that you watch him in the fall and it's, hey, he's good, but I don't know how good he's going to be this year. And he just continues to get better and better as the challenges grow for him. So I'm excited to watch Mason grow over the next 4 years with us.
One thing I've also known about Mason, like despite his size, he's like 6'3"-ish, around 200 pounds. He runs very well. Is that just something that you have noticed early, or were you surprised that somebody his being all arms and legs, he's able to run so fluidly?
We knew he could burn early. So we've had a previous relationship with him. He actually played for my assistant coach back in Colorado when my assistant was back out there in high school. So we've known about Mason for a while and his ability to play, and a lot of his ability to steal bases is instinct. Mason's one of our best base runners. He sees things and can grab timing better than anyone else. And I think what makes him really good at stealing bases, he's not scared. I think base stealing, you just can't be scared about running, and that guy doesn't care if he gets thrown out or not. He has the mindset of I'm always going to find a way to get into scoring position. So he does a tremendous job with that stuff, and it, again, it speaks to his athleticism for the size that he is.
You have a bullpen arm in Andrew Trotman, where still very young, but has a frame to add on some size. He has struggled for a bit, but he's also rebounded well. One thing I noticed about him is he has great control for a bullpen reliever. When you see somebody like Andrew, somebody who's this young and being able to harness that control, what message does that send to the rest of the team?
You should watch what that guy does on a daily basis. He prepares really well each and every week, and he's just a hard-nosed kid. He's from Alaska. I mean, we joked. He would I always said at Christmas break, I said, you better make sure you get your throwing in because he go out and hunt all night in the freezing cold. He's just hard-nosed and gets after people, and there's a reason he's good. And again, it's mental toughness. He has bad outings, and he can bounce back in the next game and turn it on. And put the last one behind him. And again, he just prepares really well every single week and has a lot of intent in what he does in his bullpens.
How do you get away from the game when you're not on the field or in the office?
I spend time with my family. I got a soon to be 7-year-old, a soon to be 6-year-old, and a 4-year-old. So
Ooh.
my wife and I stay nice and busy with our kids. I try to spend time with family as much as I can. I love being around them. I love kids. So I'm trying to enjoy the time while they still like dad before they get too old. That's kind of my getaway is just being with family and disconnecting from baseball totally.
Who is your favorite baseball player of all time?
Oh, favorite player of all time. Don't dislike me for it. Some people are mixed emotions on this one, but I love Barry Bonds. I grew up through
Yes.
the home run era and him just crushing people, and I loved watching Barry. So he's probably my favorite hitter and then pitcher, either Randy Johnson or Roger Clemens. I loved how those guys just went after people and dominated games. And I kind of grew up in their heyday. That's when I was a kid, so I loved watching those guys play.
Who's your favorite non-baseball athlete of all time?
Favorite not oh Michael Jordan. I'm a Chicago Bulls guy. I love Jordan. I grew up in the 90s when he was just winning championships. So Jordan, and then if you want to get more modern, Kobe. I loved watching Kobe play. I thought the way those guys handled their game, there's a reason why they're some of the best ever to play.
When you and the family are out to eat, what's the best food in Odessa and what's on your plate?
We don't go out very often, but if we're going out, Rose's Cafe, and we get the family fajita platter.
Oh.
We love Mexican food, so being out in West Texas, there's a ton of good Mexican places, but Rose's is the place that we typically go to.
Which current player in the MLB now would you pay to watch? Like you just would put down your money, just go watch them right now.
Scherzer and Verlander all day. I think those guys are just superior competitors. If they had a start, I'd pay money to go watch those guys start a game. And then hitter wise, Trout or Mookie Betts, I think those guys just are really polished at what they do at the dish. And I'd enjoy watching those guys in person as well.
Favorite closer of all time, being a former closer, so.
Favorite closer. Well, Kent Tekulve taught me how to pitch.
Oh, you put a sidearm.
I was a submarine guy in college, and Kent Tekulve I got to work with him through my
Whoa.
college days. So he kind of taught me how to do it. So if I'm going old school, going with Kent, but if I'm going my days, Eric Gagne. I loved when he was in his prime. He was unstoppable for those couple years there. So those are probably my two favorite guys.
I would go Falk. Kit DeCovey's like, I remember being old enough to watch him pitch when I was a little kid, but ooh, I would go Trevor Hoffman because of changeup or Mariano Rivera, he threw that one pitch, or John Franco because he didn't have great stuff, but
No.
he got the ball over the plate.
Yep. He was a mean competitor and just filled it
He
up.
would. He was. Coach Gabe Reiner from UTPB, thank you so much for joining us on this episode of the AdDrop Podcast.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.